If you have your Bibles this evening, would like to follow along, look with me to 2 John. 2 John, where I want to look for just a few moments and do a study there for just a few moments. Some fantastic ideas that John develops and that are worthy of our study. It's an honor to be able to assemble in the name of our Lord again and blend our voices in some beautiful songs. And also to remember those who are in need of help, those who are suffering, to approach God's throne on their behalf, to remember them. It's a wonderful place to be, to blend our thoughts as we approach the throne of grace, to assist and be considerate of those who certainly are in need. So it's good to be able to be a part of that group also. All right, 2 John. Read with me the first four verses. I'd like you to notice, because that's what I want to talk about. First four verses is, notice the word true or truth. 2 John, first verse. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. John's writings go on like that quite a bit. I think In his gospel, he mentions truth or true some 38 or 40 times. And here in these short epistles, he even mentions truth or true some 20 times. It's not very far from his thinking. The connection with the Almighty, our understanding of God, is that which he understands to be through truth. And we'll talk about that for a few moments. He addresses this letter, as you see it, to the elect lady and her children. And there never has been much agreement as to whether he's talking about, because of the translation out of Greek, but he may very well be talking about a lady that he holds in very high esteem with a family, or some think he may be actually talking to a congregation, the way ecclesia is written. And it's ecclesia is a feminine form, and sometimes people think of him addressing a church, especially, of course, when you look down at the last verse, verse 13, he says, the children of your elect sister greet you, amen. And so you have to kind of do some reading in your thoughts, look at some other translations on that. But whether he is writing to an esteemed lady or maybe a congregation that he knows of that he wants to impress upon them some important thoughts. There seem to be some fundamentals of the ideas of truth here that he has in mind. And just for a few moments, I'd like to go with you through some of these thoughts here. And as we look again at verse 1, the very first part, it says, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth and have not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. In truth, there is a relationship here, and that's kind of the first one that we see here. It's not just the truth of 2 + 2 = 4, that's true, but here he's talking about a truth that involves a relationship. He says, whom I love in the truth. And so there's something that is describing not just what he knows, but something that affects his emotions and his relationship to others. And not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. And so there's a relationship there as the way he uses it. That's important for us, because when we think of the truth of the gospel, the truth of the New Testament, we're talking about the truth of Jesus. John 1 verse 17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And what's impressive about that is the truth of Jesus, like Matthew 11, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden. That kind of a thought, that kind of a relationship is building not just a relationship, maybe a friend's, and that does many times, but something closer. And this idea seems to be suggesting the idea of just brothers and sisters and members of a family, and how the truth and the love of God, the gospel, relates to different people in different places. First Peter, the first chapter, studied this back last quarter. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And again, when we talk about truth, we're talking about that which we need to know, that which is different from a falsehood. It is something in harmony with that which is in reality. But more than that, it develops into something that has to do with people. A unique love abides with regard to the people that John is talking about here. The very truth of the people that are described in the way Jesus described. Let's see, back in Matthew, 12th chapter, you remember there was a situation in which Jesus' family comes to him and they want to speak with him. And Jesus' attitude is just amazing. I don't think he's trying to be disrespectful to his family. But verse 47, Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 47. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Verse 48. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does the will or practices the truth. It is that point that has Jesus described in simply the way we relate to people because of the truth. Go back with me to 1 John. In 1 John, the fourth chapter, he's got almost the same thing there again. 1 John, the fourth chapter. And he makes a powerful statement there. 1 John 4 and verse 20. He says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And so our relationship and our understanding of the truth of God is going to most dramatically affect our relationship to people. That's what John's talking about here. That was the problem that John was writing about in his epistles, the first letter and the second letter, and then also the third. The way we think about the truth of God, let me read to you another passage. Paul is on almost the same wavelength. He makes this statement in verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Paul says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What exists between family should be one of not just love, but one of truth. One that the truth leads us to have a concern for. Kind of like Paul said in Galatians 6. Just brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual do what? Restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself also. And so when we come back here to 2 John again, just the way he begins this letter to this glorious lady, our congregation, he says, to the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth. And I know, so we could just read through that very quickly. And yet it was written for us to just sit and think about these thoughts and reflect upon some of the things that John would be writing. Let me suggest to you, come back to verse 1 again, and you can see the next one pretty easy, I think. when we read there in the latter part of verse 1. He says, to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. It's getting a little bit closer to the way we understand truth. Truth is something we need to know, isn't it? Truth, and all of us would want to be known as people of truth. Not that we just speak the truth, and I hope that we do, but that we live and practice and think the truth, and we operate on a daily basis on those things that are according to what is reality. People, as Jesus would continue it, Jesus would say, people are made free from slavery by truth. The slavery of being guilty of sin and the tyranny of unrighteousness in the lives of so many people. In John 8, verse 32, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But it's not just knowing truth. Again, it's kind of like in our previous point. It's not just the truth is known and understood, but it's one that emboldens us to live a certain kind of life. First Timothy, Paul again is making some of the same thoughts. First Timothy, the second chapter. And you read down verse 4. We'll go back to verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It is a living principle in our lives. It's something by which we operate our entire life of what we're trying to accomplish. Go back with me again. John's writing. 1 John, the third chapter this time. 1 John, the third chapter. And we look down at verse 18. 1 John 3rd chapter verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. It's not just an academic truth, although that's very important. But it's a truth that molds our lives and leads us in certain directions. That we just need to know the things of Christ. And then John here is hoping that they would appreciate that point. That's what somebody pointed out to me this morning, that as I was talking about Cornelius over in Romans, the 10th chapter. I couldn't mention this one. How you know it, how you learn the truth. And he's talking about how it comes to them. In Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but we have not all obeyed, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We recognize that truth is something that has to be known, and not just the deeper forms of maybe mathematics, but the more advanced forms of understanding God and his will for us, and his plans for mankind, and how we stand right with him. Come back with me again. We'll continue our thought there, in beginning in 2 John, the first verse. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because the truth which abides in us will be with us forever. It's not just that we love in the truth, not just that we know it, but as he says here, because of the truth which abides or dwells in us. And that's really the third point. John's understanding of truth is a truth that creates relationships of people, a truth that must be known and must be applied to our life, a truth that must dwell in us, and certainly our understanding of it, which means we must spend time with it, just reading it and taking care that we are interested in those things of God. So we're moving from just knowing the truth to having it dwell in us, live in us. Colossians, the third chapter, the famous passage that Paul writes over Colossians 3, verse 15, he says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." The peace of God that would rule our hearts is the truth of God. Next verse, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's the idea he has for us. And we need to be concerned, because that we continue to live that way in a cruel, dark world that is under the sway of the evil one. Go back with me to 1 John again. 1 John, the second chapter. Yes, 1 John, the second chapter. Look down at verse 14. He says, "I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked ones." It's this idea of not just haphazardly maybe knowing some things of truth, but being devoted to the truth, making it a principle of our life. Remember Jesus said over in Luke 9, that a person who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not what? He's not worthy of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And that's important. This is a development of an attitude and a thought that you and I, who are servants of the Lord, are attempting to be with God. That God would have us and would say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Over in Romans, the third chapter, Paul makes this statement down in verse 26, that God demonstrated this present time that he is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The truth dwells in us, and it makes us able to be justified in the eyes of God, but it makes God, because of the sacrifice of Christ, to be just among anyone, anywhere, because he gave his only begotten Son. And I recognize that there are mental conflicts and problems. That's one of the good reasons to continue to study, to ask questions, to search out certain meanings, to be able to apply the truth and only the truth that we would have. And if we're not knowing the truth or studying the truth, maybe put a little more effort to it. James says in James, the first chapter, he says, verse 42, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Remember what David said back in Psalms 119, verse 11? He said, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not what? That I might not sin against you." There is the truth, and John seems just to write about it in just an easy way. And he puts these ideas and words of truth in this letter to this elect lady or our congregation. And yet these are points that we can stop and think about and apply them to our life. Let me suggest to you number four. Truth is in beautiful company. Look at the way it's described. Look at verse 3 with me. Coming back to our text as he begins this letter. Verse 3, we'll begin with me again, the first verse. "To the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." Look at all these descriptions here in verse 3. "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Well, just think of that neighborhood that truth is mentioned in, as John would write these beautiful words. Here is the Father and the Son. And they, kind of like John's early gospel, the gospel he wrote in the first few verses, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." those tremendous revelations and statements such as that. And then down in verse 14, it talks about, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, on down in verse 17, he makes the statement that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There's that connection that John makes all the way through. When he talks about love, the apostle of love, I mean not far behind or in front of or around somewhere, it's going to be the idea of grace and peace and truth. What a wonderful paragraph that is. Look with me again back here in John. Just read that verse again, verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love. What a beautiful thought that is. When we're talking about that grace and mercy and peace and truth come to us, or grace and mercy and peace come to us through the truth of God. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart. The grace of God, the peace of God, the mercy of God that would set us apart is the very truth that we read about and learn and love. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul says it this way. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth, yes. But dedicating and devoting ourselves to the idea of speaking the truth in love. Without truth, we could not know anything about the Father and the Son. We know nothing about His will, and certainly wouldn't know anything about His grace and His peace and the mercy that He offers unto us. That's why we're back in our text, in the second letter again, 2 John, we read down at verse 9, probably the most famous verse in the second letter. Whoever transgresses and abides and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. What a company. What a context there. Truth, love, grace, mercy, peace. All of that come together. This is what John is thinking as he writes these passages. Let me suggest to you, last of all, come down with verse 4. Verse 4 says this, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. The ultimate aim is to serve the Lord. And John's thinking about the ultimate aim of grace and mercy and peace and truth is how does it affect my life every day? John rejoiced that he could know of and recognize that there were some of her children walking in truth. And they saw it in her. And that's how, as you read, come back with that. They could see it on a daily basis. Going over to the third letter, 3 John. And look again with me in. Let's just start again from the first verse. 3 John this time, first verse. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly that when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Kind of the same idea is that all of those terms, truth and love and grace and peace and mercy, are all of those words that maybe just describe a different facet of the grace of God. And that children should see their parents walking in truth. Certainly so. And that many people were commended. 2 Timothy, you recall that Paul would say in verse 6 of the first chapter, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Read the previous verse. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And then look on over into the third chapter of 2 Timothy. We read down in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's where he goes on to talk about that all Scriptures given by the inspiration of God. But Timothy had been taught that. He had been raised in that. He understood that that was the environment in which he was raised. So when we come back to 2 John again, I think as we go through this, it's just a wonderful letter. And you can do this with each one of his letters. You almost can take it apart phrase by phrase. But in this part, and then also in the 1 John letter, and then certainly in his great gospel, truth is not far from his thinking ever. That's why he would make statements like John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and in the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So as we've just had a small little study here this evening of 4 or 5 verses of the letter of John. And it reminds us of so many other wonderful soaring thoughts and subjects. Does the truth have and I mean the truth of God, the gospel of Christ, the story of the grace, mercy, and peace that God offers through to mankind through sacrifice of his son. Does that truth have a life-reaching daily effect as we go through this life? And that would be a question John would ask. And that's exactly what he has in mind for us, is that we would think about just the way he thinks, and that he's proud of the idea to write and say, I know some of your children that are walking. But that's sufficient. I think that's a good study. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, Jesus is the truth. He embodies the truth because he speaks the truth, and he will judge the world according to truth one of these days. If you're here and you haven't rendered obedience to the gospel, you need to do so. And if you're here and you're a child of God, maybe your life, as you think about it and you reflect over your life, maybe it doesn't show the dedication, devotion, appreciation of the idea of truth and the grace of God and his mercy and the peace he offers. Let's make some changes. Let's live for the Lord. Let's walk with him. That's why John would say in his first letter, his first chapter, verse 6 and 7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What a powerful thought. And all of John's letters are like that. Just tremendous thoughts. If you're subject to heaven's call this evening, would you please come? We stand and sing.